Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I know I've used this illustration before, but I think it's particularly appropriate tonight. So imagine that you've come to the White House because you want to see the president. So, of course, you're looking your best. You've got your shoes shined. Your hair is combed. You've put on your best professional suit because there are some important issues that you want to take up with the commander-in-chief. First, there's that problem with Medicare and all the complicated forms that need to be taken care of. And then that interstate renovation that didn't include an exit ramp close enough to your home. And income taxes. They're too high for you and obviously too low for everybody else. And there's that little matter of the student loans of your grandkids. Couldn't he just make a few phone calls, see if he can get that dealt with? But as you stand and you look at that imposing building and you realize that there are a lot of things standing between you and the president. The gates are locked. Security guards aren't just simply going to let you in. His staff doesn't know you. The Secret Service, well, they have orders to shoot first and ask questions later. And the more you think about it, the more you realize that it's, well, maybe it's a fun exercise to fantasize about sharing your hurts and your hopes with the most powerful person on the planet, but it's just not going to happen. You know, think about it. Let's face it. It really isn't what you know, but who you know in a lot of times, isn't it? You got to have the right connections with the right person at the right time to accomplish all the right things. If only we could do something to gain access. So now imagine that the president looks out his window and locks eyes with you. And you see him talking to someone, and the next thing you know, his security detail escorts you into the Oval Office, and the president listens attentively and makes all the changes you ask for. It's a little bit too good to be true, I think. It would never happen with the president of the United States. Not in a million years. But here's the reality. You have an even greater connection than the POTUS. Because you have the King of the Universe who has you on speed dial. You have a friend in the highest of places. This is Maundy Thursday. And in our sermon series on the book of Exodus, we come to Exodus 24. And in that chapter, we begin with these words. Then Yahweh, which means the Lord, said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar." Worship from afar. Don't get too close. Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, those 70 elders of Israel, apparently had no access. There were far too many barriers between them and the Lord. Yahweh, the I Am, Moses met at the burning bush. He is the holy, infinite, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, and only God. Yahweh is in a league all of his own. Yahweh had descended upon Mount Sinai in a cloud and in glory, but Israel's leaders must still worship from afar. And here's why. The Bible says that we were born in transgressions and sins. The Bible says that we are by nature God's enemies. The Bible says that we are fading leaves, empty cisterns, flowers quickly fading. It says that we are rebels, prodigals, prone to wander, hard-hearted, stiff-necked, selfish, and lost in sin. Now, I have to ask you, would you allow anyone described like that to get close to you or to those you love? So if we wouldn't, why in the world would the Holy God? Especially when it's for our own protection. Because the holiness and glory of God would consume and destroy us. But then the Lord says this, the next verse. Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but the others shall not come near, and the people will not come up with him. Moses, was he any less sinful than the others? Of course he wasn't. So why does Moses get to come near? Well, he gets to come near because God chose Moses to be the mediator, the go-between between himself and the sinful people of Israel. Moses' role was to bridge the gap between Israel's leaders and God. And here's how God made that possible. A few verses later, we read, Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. The Israelites got out of Egypt by means of blood. The Passover lamb was slain, and his blood painted the door frames of the houses. And the angel of death passed over the Israelite houses, but passed through the houses of the Egyptians, striking down every firstborn of Egypt. Blood was how the Israelites got out of Egypt, and blood was how the Israelites gained access to God. That blood covered their sins and kept them from being destroyed. So directly after the people were marked by the blood of that sacrifice, we read this. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. Next slide, please. Oh, wait, nope. That's not the right one. Okay. Let me finish it. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone like the very heaven for clearness, and he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They saw God and ate and drank. Those Israelites not only got to see the God of Israel, they got to eat and drink with him in his presence. They had a meal with God. That's real access. And that's God's gift to you as well. You see, blood is how we get out of Egypt. Out of our house of guilt and remorse and darkness and death. Blood is how we gain access to God. Blood is all we need. And it all comes together in this week we call holy. Christ's blood is spilled on the hill of Golgotha. But this isn't some sort of sudden tragedy. Christ's death wasn't some divine knee-jerk reaction to a world spinning out of control by people who spit in the face of their Creator. Revelation 13:8 speaks of the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Before the world was made, the Father had the plan in place for His Son to shed His blood for you and me, for our sin. On Monday, Thursday evening in Gethsemane, the disciples were fast asleep 1 minute, and the next, they were running away as soldiers arrested and bound Jesus. And then on Good Friday, the high priest, Caiaphas, manipulated the Sanhedrin to achieve Jesus' death. When given the option, the Jews chose the murderer Barabbas over the rabbi Jesus. Pontius Pilate simply washed his hands of the mess and handed Jesus over to the soldiers, who beat him to within an inch of death. And then they shoved a crossbeam upon his bloody shoulders, and when he came to the place of the skull, they nailed him to the cross, where he hung as the fulfillment of his own father's plan. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. In his poem, Pippa's Song, Robert Browning declares, "The years at the spring and the days at the morn, mornings at seven, the hillsides dew-pearled, the larks on the wing, the snails on the thorn, God is in his heaven, all's right with the world." And those words pronounce a beautiful sentiment on the reawakening of nature as winter loses its grip, but in the light of those days that we're in these days that we're living out this week, we see that that sentiment really isn't correct. All is not right with the world because God is in his heaven. No, all is all right with the world because God is on the cross. And because of that, we can declare with the writer of the book of Hebrews, "Therefore we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus." It's by the blood of Jesus that we have access. Access to the most holy place. Access to the very throne of Almighty God. Access to the heart of the one who rules the sun, the moon, the stars. Access to our Father who wields his power in heaven and on earth for us, for his children. By the blood of Jesus, we enter God's presence, not with shaking and trembling and not with angst and fear, but with confidence. That word confidence appears 40 times in the New Testament. It appears again and again because the message of the New Testament is all about this one simple truth. By the blood of Jesus, we have unlimited access to the most holy place of the most holy God who has the most holy name. See, that's confidence. Confidence to live. Confidence to speak. Confidence when we suffer. Confidence when we pray. And even confidence when we die. Unlimited access. That's God's gift to Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders of Israel. They see the God of Israel and they eat and they drink. And that's the gift that you and I receive again tonight. We're not on the outside looking in. We're invited to his table. We have access not to the most powerful person in the world, but to the most powerful being in the universe. Tonight we have the privilege to come together as his family with unlimited access to our loving Father who gave his one and only Son, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Unlimited access. It's God's gift of grace for the sake of Christ at this table for you. Amen.